May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are all fair, my love. There is no spot on you. Today, the Church gives us the sublime feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. On the 8th of December, way back in 1854, the Holy Father, Pope Pius IX, in virtue of the infallible authority communicated to him as head of the Universal Church by our Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of Saint Peter, solemnly declared, quote, "We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Blessed Virgin Mary, at the first instant of her conception, by a singular privilege and grace of the omnipotent God, in virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of mankind, was preserved immaculate from all stain of original sin, has been revealed by God, and therefore should be firmly and constantly be believed by all the faithful," end quote. This is the words we just read in the Gospel when the angel greeted Our Lady in her house in Nazareth, the words we say every day with the Hail Mary. But note the difference. The angel did not greet Our Lady as Ave Maria, full of grace, but Ave, full of grace, to declare that Our Lady is full of grace and immaculate. We note here the word used to be preserved. The use of this word was especially formulated by a Franciscan priest called Blessed John Duns Scotus way back in the 13th century. He was from Scotland. He had systemized the way that we understand this great privilege of Mary, which we celebrate today. He said that God could preserve Our Lady from all stain of original sin. It was fitting that he should do it because she was the one to bear the Christ child, and she was the one to be the mother of the Redeemer. So God did it. At no point then in her existence, from her conception until her departure from this life into heaven, with her assumption, was she under the yoke or as a slave of the devil or of sin. This means that not only was she preserved from original sin, unlike the rest of mankind, from the time of Adam to the last soul to be created, but she was immaculate and also free from all actual sin. In the medieval times, this truth took some time to unfold and to be believed. Even the great saints like Saint Thomas of Aquinas, Saint Bernard, and Saint Bonaventure, all agreed that Our Lady was only freed, like John the Baptist, from the stain of original sin in her mother's womb. She was therefore for some time under the yoke of Satan, they said. Scotus, however, revealed and defended the truth of this doctrine at the academic wing of the Sorbonne University in the early 1300s, amidst great animosity. He was by himself in this defense. But before his defense, he paused and addressed to pray to a statue of Our Lady, saying, "Allow me to praise you, O most holy Virgin. Give me strength against your enemies." Our Lady in the statue, she nodded in appreciation, and he emerged from the public debate victorious as the champion of the Immaculate Conception. What do we mean then, we need to understand, by this term original sin as Catholics? According to Christian theology, original sin is a spiritual disease of the human soul, a disease that is passed on to future generations as much as physical characteristics or psychological defects. The passing on of original sin at conception is not something physical, however, but it is a moral defect in our soul. An easy way to understand this is to consider that the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived with her soul, as it were, as a whole piece of cake, a whole entire cake, fully round and complete. We, however, through the disobedience and pride of our first parents, Adam and Eve, have a void, or have a slice of this cake missing, which is the consequence of original sin. This missing space, or this slice of cake, as it were, is filled up when we are baptized, and then we are free from original sin. The phrase "the fall" is used by Christian theologians to describe the consequence of original sin. Prior to this disobedience, or this pride from Adam and Eve, they were created and endowed by God with special integrity and sanctifying grace. After they sinned, they lost that integrity and grace, hence the idea of fallen human nature and wounded nature. In other words, they fell from the spiritual level of being in full communion with the Almighty to the level of being in sin. In turn, sin divides and causes further division. The point of the story, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, of original sin is not to pick apart the details, but to understand the message. We see Our Lady is the new Eve. As Eve was disobedient, Our Lady brought back the obedience. Had Adam and Eve remained obedient, God would have revealed to them what was good and what was evil. But they wanted in their pride to know this themselves. Because of their transgression, human beings would have to learn the hard way, discovering good and evil for themselves, instead of being told and believing in what God says. Subsequently, men and women would have to struggle to discern morally correct behavior. Let us consider another example with this notion of the fall. Consider you are traveling in a ship which is being tossed around by a violent storm. You happen to be thrown overboard and are submerged in a thick swamp of mud and vile substances. You have the grace, however, to be rescued, to be pulled back on board the ship and then cleaned down. In this way, you have been freed or liberated from the stench. But consider, however, if while falling into the swamp, you were preserved from the fall and rescued before you fell into the sea, so that there was no need to clean you down. This is the concept of original sin, whereby Mary, our mother, was preserved, whereas we all need to the cleansing waters from the grace of baptism to restore us to a healthy condition. Let us thank our Lord today for giving us the gift, this wonderful gift of the Immaculate Conception, and adore His almighty power. Let us ponder even further this great mystery, proclaimed as a dogma in 1854 and ratified by Mary herself 4 years later. Here is the mystery the Church declares in 1854, that Mary was free from sin. She was immaculately conceived. 4 years later at Lourdes, Our Lady goes beyond the dogma and says to Saint Bernadette, when asked who she was to define her name, she said, "Not I was conceived from original sin, but I am the Immaculate Conception." So we thank Almighty God for giving us the gift of Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, not just white, but whiteness itself, not just purity, but purity itself. Some people have the great grace to die on the Feast of Our Lady. This was the case for my father 10 years ago. He died on this great feast. We thank God for this grace. And we just finish off with a practical point. This Thursday is General Election Day. This falls in God's providence on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is the patroness of the unborn. Now, if you look on the computer in Google, under the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, they have issued a very good statement on how we should vote as Catholics. Perhaps we do not know, and it is worth reminding ourselves, it is not the general election was called under the subject of Brexit, but we should not as Catholics use this as the main point of reference to vote or to consider immigrants or the needs of the planet. In terms of what we have been told by the Bishops' Conference, the main things that we should be looking towards for our candidates is their stance and the political parties on the dignity of human life. These are the words of the conference. In making judgments how to vote, the bishops ask the following to be carefully considered, and indeed candidates can be asked how they will uphold these, and these are the most important ones. The innate dignity of every human being, defending both the child in the womb, the good of the mother, and the understanding of the immeasurable good of the child not yet born. Second, the dignified care for those who are terminally ill and dying while resisting the false compassion of assisted suicide or euthanasia. So these are the main issues that we should be have in our minds. It is our duty and our obligation as Catholics to be informed in our conscience when we vote, to gain the knowledge and to vote on these issues, because some of these parties, if you look at their manifestos, have got absolutely terrible manifestos in relation to these policies on life. So it would be immoral, if you know what they believe, to vote for these parties. You have to look for a candidate who upholds the dignity of life. So we thank our Lord again for this beautiful feast of the Immaculate Conception. This is the Feast of Feasts of Purity of Our Lady. We ask our Lord to give us the grace to ponder this mystery and to help us one day so that we may glorify God for heaven forever and ever with the Immaculate Conception. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.